Good morning, church. We are so glad to have you here today, and particularly those who are visiting with us, and we know that we have a number of visitors today. Thankful for your presence. You know, it's a great joy, as Alan mentioned, to be here to worship our God this morning, but we also have those mixed emotions of saying goodbye to friends and loved ones that we've known and cherish in our thoughts. We're certainly going to miss Lahoma and going to miss Dave and Connie and Jim and Wanda. And we just pray that God will continue to bless you and you'll be very happy and in your new home and your new situation. But know that we will certainly miss you here. There's some joy in our life that God certainly blessed us in finding a new place in Tyler. And then we put our house, a sign up that said for sale by owner at our house in White House on Monday about 10:30 in the morning. And we showed the house at 6:30 in the evening. And we had an offer by Tuesday morning. And we had to do some negotiating, but we signed the contract on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And so the Lord has truly, truly blessed us, and we know that the Lord is going to bless those of you who are leaving us and who are looking to a new life, and we wish you well. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." Wonderful words from the psalmist. And also in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, Jeremiah speaks of the tree. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit." Aren't you thankful that we're not having a drought? Having plenty of rain, and rain in July is a little unusual, but we're so grateful for it. Becky and I were commenting on how green and beautiful everything was in our drive from Tyler here this morning. We're so grateful for the rain that God has given to us. You know, there are several references in Scripture where godly people are compared to trees. And normally trees stand tall and strong, even in the midst of swirling winds and storms. And as children of God, we must stand tall and strong for the Lord. The winds of life may cause us to occasionally sway, but as long as our faith is deep and rooted in Jesus Christ, we will never break. We will never die spiritually. Most trees have deep root systems that permit them to stand tall and also to reach down into the earth in order to receive the essential moisture and nutrients to live and be fruitful. As Christians, Jesus compared us to branches who must remain attached to him, the true vine, in order to receive proper sustenance and to continually bear fruit. There are many trees that the inspired writers could have had in mind. But let's look this morning at the attributes of one tree in particular, the date palm tree. In Exodus, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer." And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the water. The Lord delivered the Israelites through the Red Sea. But he also used that same sea to destroy the Egyptian army. Now, I think that's very similar in our Christian dispensation to that of baptism. It is through baptism that we are saved in Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ saves us. And yet those who refuse to be baptized according to the way of God, they are lost. The Israelites were forced to rely completely on God for their food and their well-being, and God often put their faith to the test. They had gone 3 days in the wilderness. They finally found water at Marah. But they could not drink the water because it was bitter. And the people complained to Moses. How many times do people complain to the elders, the leaders of God's people about this and about that? And there was a great deal of grumbling among those who were the Israelites against Moses. So Moses approaches God, and God told Moses to throw a particular tree into the water, and that tree made the waters sweet. According to Jewish tradition, and realize this is just tradition, the tree that was thrown into the water was a bitter tree. But God caused the waters to be sweetened by the combination of bitter water and a bitter tree. And some commentators have even allegorized this to refer to the tree of Calvary. Sin was bitter to God, and God placed his son on a bitter tree in a bitter world in order to make it sweet. And God told his people that if they would listen to his voice and do what was right in his sight, he would bless them and he would heal them. And how true that is for even us today, and how true that is even for our nation, for our country. If we will but turn to God, God will heal us. He is the great healer. Can you imagine what a welcomed sight it must have been for nearly 2 million people who were dusty and thirsty to see 70 date palm trees at Elim. And they camped at Elim because there were 12 springs of water there, one spring for every tribe of Israel. If you had been wandering in an arid desert, the sighting of trees would indicate to you that water was near. And trees also typify shelter and refuge. And in like manner, as Christians, we must symbolize to a lost, wandering, and dying world who can quench their thirst and give them eternal life. It's only Jesus. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Josephus was an early church historian. And he wrote about forests of palms, especially in the Jordan Valley near Jerusalem, and also around the Mount of Olives. And there was one palm forest near Jericho that was said to have been 7 miles long. And this is the reason that Jericho is often referred to in Scripture as the City of the Palms. One of David's daughters, Tamar, was named after the palm tree. You might remember that Tamar was the sister of Absalom, who was seduced by her half-brother Amnon. And the word Tamar is the Hebrew word for palm tree. Tamar was also a city that was located south of the Dead Sea, according to Ezekiel chapter 47, 19, and also Ezekiel 48, 28. I think the interesting thing about a palm tree is that the date palm could grow from 80 to 100 feet in height. And I think that we are to stand tall in integrity and ethics and morality and spirituality. Remember on the Mount that Jesus said to his followers that they were to be like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We're also to be the light of the world that shines before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Notice your good works are to be seen. But they're not to be seen in order to give you praise. They are to be seen to give God all the glory. Not only were the palm trees tall, but the leaves at the crown of the tree were 6 to 9 feet long. I would hate to rake those up in the fall, wouldn't you? Therefore, they provided some protection from the scorching heat of the sun. You might recall that Deborah, the famous woman judge, sat under a palm tree. It was located between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And she was there to decide the cases that were brought before her, Judges 4 and verse 5. As God is our refuge, we should also provide shelter and protection for weary and burdened sinners. The flowers and fruit of the palm tree also grew in clusters, and we can do more, I believe, for the Lord when we are clustered together rather than when we stand alone. Some palm trees live to be about 200 years old. I'm not suggesting that you should live that long. Not suggesting that you would want to live that long, but certainly they had a long life. It takes a palm tree about 30 years to mature. And it probably took about that long for many of us to mature as well. One of the intriguing things about the palm tree is that it never stops bearing fruit, even though it lives a long time. And there are Christians who say that they are either too young or too old to bear fruit for the Lord. Paul admonished the young preacher Timothy to take advantage of his youth and vitality to accomplish the Lord's will. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." There needs to be a good balance in every congregation of the Lord's church. And many times older Christians think that they can no longer be useful and productive in the Lord's kingdom. I believe that any congregation will die if its members, whether young or old, decide they will leave the fruit bearing to someone else. We are the ones who are responsible for bearing fruit. And we must continue to bear spiritual fruit for as long as we live. In Psalm 92, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. Maybe the greatest thing about the palm branches is that they would often be laid in the street to parade a king who had been victorious in battle. At Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, people spread the branches of palm trees in the street. And they said, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." If you can just imagine that scene, as there were probably many on the outside who were looking and were mocking what they were doing and what they were saying. Who is this king who is riding on a donkey into Jerusalem? Who is this man? And yet they recognized him as King and Lord. In the great heavenly throne scene that is portrayed in Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 through 10, an international multitude of people stood before the throne of God, and they were clothed in their white robes, and they had palm branches in their hands, and said, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Brothers and sisters, we should live like winners. Because in Jesus Christ, we win. The victory has already been fought. If you read toward the end of the book of Revelation, you know that it was Jesus who has won the battle. You know, if someone could know that they were going to be on a football team or a baseball team or a soccer team that was going to win, and they had the opportunity to be on that team, they'd be on that team. We know that we're going to win. We are the winners because we are in Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to be victorious over all. And if we're on his team, we will be victorious too. Through Jesus Christ, we are triumphant over sin and over life and even over death. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. If you're not on the winning team, you should be. You have had opportunity after opportunity to become part of God's winning team. If you're not a Christian this morning, we hope and pray that you will make that decision to become a Christian. If you're a member of the Lord's body and you need the prayers and the encouragement of your brothers and sisters, we want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. If there's anything that we can do to help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?